time for another edition of the Home Improvement Show, the last one of the year 2024. I'm Joanne Brackus, and sitting in front of me is Walter Assey, president of Renovco, and he is here to answer all of your home improvement questions, your needs, your concerns. 514-790-0800, that is the text line and the phone number. Reminder that if you have a very big, you know, sort of layered or textured question for Walter, better to call than it is to text. But the text is available. Hi, Walter. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Good. Did you have a good Christmas? Did Santa come?
Santa came. It was a very big, nice event. And, mm-hmm. You know, the kids are happy. So that's what counts.
Yes. It really becomes all about the kids at that point.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I got my socks, so I'm fine.
It's true. You know what, though? My husband does appreciate a good pair of socks because they always go missing in the house. So it is a useful gift.
100%.
Is it glamorous?
It's like once a year, but it's good.
All right.
It's the things you don't want to ever shop for.
No. It's a boring purchase, but an important one. The phone calls are coming in already. We have Tony, who has been waiting on the line. And Tony has a question about a hot water expansion tank. Tony, can you hear us?
Yes, good morning, Joanne and Walter.
Take it away.
Okay, I have a hot water heating system. Usually it was heated by an oil furnace, replaced by an electrical furnace. And the expansion tank on it, it seems to be full. Now, can I replace that or do I need a plumber?
I mean, it's relatively easy to install. Depends how handy you are. I don't know, honestly, if you've done any work like that before or because...
Well,
you know.
I do a little plumbing. What it seems to be is just turn off the water supply and just remove the expansion tank and replace it by a new one. But do I have to put any pressure on it or anything like that or what?
No. I mean, it's the installation is relatively simple. That's the thing. So, if you're handy, I mean... When it comes to plumbing, I always say for insurance purposes, you know, don't push your luck. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, it's going to be very hard for me to advise you because, you know, if I want to go by the Régie des Bâtiments directives, you would need a plumber for it. But, you know, it's a question of insurance as well.
Right. So my question was more for the pressure in the...
No, you don't.
No. So I can just remove and replace with a new one.
Correct.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Tony. Happy New Year to you, too. We've got Janet on the line. Janet has a question for Walter. Janet, can you hear us?
Good morning, Walter. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is, does Renovco service the Laurentians?
We do.
Oh!
As a matter of fact, we almost got forced into it. It's funny. We kept on getting these calls. At one point, it was just too far for us. But a lot of our clients in the metropolitan area have cottages up in the Laurentians. Yeah. And, you know, they would be more insistent about getting work done in their homes. And one thing led to another. And now we have actually a dedicated... many dedicated teams, I should say. And one project manager that only takes care of the Laurentians.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I have a bathroom to redo.
Oh, that's not a problem at all. Not a problem.
Oh, my goodness, Walter. Thank you. So I would just call Renovco?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Walter. Have a great day.
My pleasure.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Thank you, Janet, and Happy New Year to Janet as well. Edward is on the line. By the way, reminder, 514-790-0800. Call in, ask Walter Assey your home improvement and your renovation questions, or you can text us, but calling is best. Edward is on the line. Edward, can you hear us?
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
No problem.
A question for Walter. I have a room like 5 feet by 5 feet square where the hot water tank is. I'm getting the hot water tank renewed, but I'd like to change the floor, remove the carpet, and put in vinyl layers. Vinyl? Click vinyl ones?
Yep.
Do I have to put a layer of something underneath it before you use the click?
Yes. So, Edward, one thing with hot water tank rooms, does it have a drain in the on the floor?
Yes, it has a drain.
Okay. So,
It also has a dish, you know, like a little plastic thing underneath to catch any drip of water.
I understand. But my question was more for the slanting of the floor. So is the floor slanted towards the drain?
Yes, it is.
So you cannot install a vinyl click flooring on that. Unfortunately, the vinyl click flooring requires a smooth level surface. So if you have any bumps or any dips in the floor or any unevenness, it will separate, okay? So it's not really made for that. You will have a better chance going with maybe an unclick or a roll-out linoleum or an unclick type of a floor. The ones that are click will give you problems unless you want to self-level that area, which will be counterintuitive because now your floor is not level to the drain, thus rendering the drain in that room useless. So the reason, I mean, we have to have a drain by code. So if the hot water tank ever leaks, you know, the water goes on in the drain and it doesn't cause damage to other rooms in the basement. So I would maybe rethink that. There are a lot of other options out there. I mean, epoxy is one of them. Epoxy resin is another one. Or you could go with the unclick type glue down vinyl, which they still have very similar patterns. It's a bit more complicated on the installation. But the good news in all of these, you don't really need any foam or any padding underneath. You can just install it right on the concrete.
It's because I have neighbors downstairs. I'm on the third floor, you know.
Yes. So it's for noise, you mean?
Yeah.
So there are, if you wish, some of them that come with a cork backing.
Okay.
And the cork backing is usually good to dampen the noise. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, let's be also quite frank about this. It's a hot water tank room, so how often do you go in there and walk? So
right.
The sound incinerization should not necessarily be tip-top shape. Just, you know, something that is efficient, that unless you're going in there with high heels all the time, that's another story, but I don't think that's the case.
Okay. You never know.
But yeah, if you go with a cork backing, that should take care of it. Avoid the click at any cost because that's going to cause you problems. Only because you have a drain and the floor is slanted towards it.
All right, Edward, does that help you out?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Edward, and Happy New Year. Reminder, 514-790-0800. Send in your text messages or call us preferably so you can chat with Walter. You ask him about your home improvement questions and needs. This is the Home Improvement Show, the last show of the year 2024. Time for you to start calling and sending in your text messages to ask Walter Essie, president of Renovco, your questions about your home improvement projects. Maybe you're working on something or thinking of starting a project in the new year and you don't know where to start. You don't know who to call. Well, we know who to call. But maybe you're just wondering how to start that big project. We've got Jillian on the line. And Jillian is hearing a clicking sound. Jillian, can you hear us?
Hi, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Yes, coming from one of my vents in my bedroom. Usually when you flush the toilet or turn on the faucet, you hear the clicking sound for about 5 minutes or so, then it stops. But only when I'm using the heating, not the AC.
Okay, so you're talking about your furnace vent.
Yeah, but I had renovations 8 years ago,
yeah.
And I think it's just from the condensation from the pipes dripping on it, but how come I don't hear it in the...
Okay, I'm a bit confused. Are you talking about your plumbing vents or your ventilation vents?
I think it's the vent because I only hear it when I have the heat on.
Okay, so I mean, usually that clicking sound is it could be very common to have a loose or a cracked vent. That usually happens when Either the technicians, they cleaned the vent and, you know, they kind of manipulated in the wrong way, or if you would have had some type of construction or renovation in that area and, you know, they did not handle it with care, that could happen. Sometimes even from the installation itself, it was not fastened adequately. I mean, to fix it, it's not a biggie. It's to get to it that's going to be probably the issue. What I would do is I would remove the register, and there's a gooseneck that is right there on the top. To see if you touch this, if it's actually loose or it's coming off in your hand. If it's coming on in your hand, it's going to be hard to get to it to kind of put duct tape around it. There are special tape for that, so you can fasten it in place. What you then try to do is try to maybe have it to be lodged in a better way. And maybe every now and then you will have to redo the same thing, unfortunately. But to get to it is going to be where your main issue is. Either you have to get to it from the ceiling, if it's somewhere, if it's a connection in between the ceiling and the ceiling downstairs and the floor upstairs. Or from the floors upstairs if you ever replace the floor. Meanwhile, there is ways, if it's from the gooseneck itself, because that's really where it's common that, you know, it's not well fastened, then just try to manually push it back in place.
But it's only one vent that's coming from, my bedroom vent that's near my bathroom.
And yeah.
But how come I don't hear it when the AC is on?
Maybe the cold, the hot air tend to cause a bit more contraction, expansion in the metal.
Okay.
That could also be attributed to that. It's...
So it's not the condensation from the pipe?
If it's vent related, it's more likely than not. Usually it's related to something that is loose in the ducting itself.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, and have a happy new year, you guys.
You too.
Thank you, Jillian. You as well. 514-790-0800. We are taking your calls and your texts for Walter Assey, president of Renovco. And as I mentioned, this is the last show of the year, which got Walter and I thinking about resolutions in terms of your home, in terms of things that you need to think about. I got to say, right before Christmas, we had a little emergency at our house, and this is when Walter Assey is a lovely friend to know, but in this case in particular, it was good to have that contingency plan. Thank you to Walter for saving our lives. But this got Walter thinking about the resolutions, right? What should we be thinking about in the new year?
So it's actually a good point that you raise. It's really what you do when you have an emergency. Because there is always this like half an hour, 1 hour where you don't know who to call, where to turn to.
Panic.
You call a plumber, you call an electrician, you call a water extraction team. Who do you call? Where do you call? When to call? And everything else. The bigger issue is when you start having these emergencies in times where, you know, Christmas Eve, like what you had, or at night, and usually Murphy's Law. It always happens in weekends. It always happens, you know, at night.
When 25 people are coming over to your house.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And really, that's where most people don't have a plan. They don't even have a number to call.
You know what? That makes me think of, Walter, when we were younger and my parents would go for dinner, they would leave like a list of emergency numbers for the sitter on the wall, like poison control, this and that. Like, you should have that number as well.
Correct. That's exactly it. Now, the other issue that is, and it's something that actually we've been thinking about in Renovco's management, is who do you service? So, if you don't have a person to call, like let's say in a case of a natural disaster, like what happened August 9th.
The floods.
Within minutes, I mean, every company in the city was over flooded with calls. So what you do is you do a triage. Okay.
Like at the hospital.
Exactly. So, you start taking your previous clients that you know, friends and family, and so on and so forth. So it's not like first come, first call basis. Mm-hmm. You say, okay, this is my client. This is not my client. This is someone that just called us. So it's always good to have that type of a relationship or that have a type of conversation going on. And you can simply call a company, establish a contact with them, put your name down, And, you know, if they have a database that they will add you on.
Really? So you can
and
just
become
even
like
though,
a member. Yeah.
So even though nothing has occurred, you can preemptively call and say, listen, I live in this area. This has happened before. I'm worried this may happen again. Can I get on a call list?
That's correct. I mean, and I'll give you an example. Maybe if we kind of like, so if you look at property management companies, mm-hmm. okay, or even insurance companies,
yeah.
they always have this réseau, like this network of companies that they actually sign deals with. We have a lot of these companies that come, they approach us, they say, please, we don't have anything today, but once we have something, we'd like to sign some type of a service agreement. It doesn't
really?
Cost you anything, but we commit that we give you the job and you commit that you will be available when, you know, you prioritize us as, you know, as
so it's just an agreement. There's no cost exchange at
There's
this
no
point.
Cost exchange. It's you know, and not every company does that, mm. okay? You know, companies that... we're just thinking about doing this more into the residential end of things because mostly we do this in the commercial end. So mm. a lot of these companies, they have risk managers that do these plannings for them. In a home, you don't have... You are your own risk manager.
That's,
you are
the job's
own.
On you.
That's right. So... have this type of relationship. It's like us when we say in life you need a good accountant, a good lawyer, a good doctor, a good dentist, you know, that type of your network. Well, that should also expand to a good contractor because, you know, with global warming more often
well,
than
that,
not, you're going to need them.
Well, that's the thing is that when we did have the floods not too long ago, the one thing, you know, Walter came in here exhausted, really. And one of the first things you said to me was, this is going to happen again. 100%. This was going to happen again.
100%. I mean, it happens every year. No, it's given it's different, if you want, volume of
intensity,
claims,
maybe, yeah.
But different intensity. But it's happening. Like there was other August 9. There was in July a very major event that created thousands of claims as well. It
yeah.
overwhelmed a lot of the... So it does happen. August 9 really made it a lot more to the news because it was, I would say, maybe 10 times larger in volume than the other ones. But mm. all the other ones that happened overwhelmed the system as well, mind you.
So you,
this okay. one maybe called home a bit because everybody that... You know, knew of somebody that got flooded if they didn't get flooded themselves. So it is happening, different intensities, like you said. Most people still don't have a plan, and because we still are meeting these people and we mm. talk to them and they come to us and they ask questions. And okay, so what happens next time? This time you didn't get service for 3 months. We literally are still getting calls of people that have not demolished the basements because
wow.
they gave up reaching contractors and now there's mold up to the ceiling. So
From August.
For them, you know, they're still in that mindset. So that's wrong. You have to have some type of, you know, an action plan, places to call and you know, things to do, checklist, what happens. You know, and in a lot of cases, unfortunately, you have to understand the ramifications if you don't act fast enough. Now, a lot of people are reliant on insurance companies.
Yeah, but weren't they overwhelmed as well?
But that's the problem.
Yeah.
Insurance companies, when they're overwhelmed, you can't reach them. It's like 911 in a case of a catastrophe.
Mm.
Usually you call them, they put you on hold. Same thing is going to happen with insurance companies. So in a way, because you have to become your own risk manager, in a way you have to become your own planner, your own contractor, your own everything, your own adjuster sometimes in certain cases, because it's your home.
So would it be the same way that you said to establish a relationship with a contractor, should you establish a relationship with an agent at the insurance company, like to have a direct line maybe?
I mean, getting to have you know, good connection with your broker. I mean, I don't know if you have with the insurance company, it's very hard because when you call, you're calling a, you know, a
system
with thousands of people. But sometimes if you know your insurance broker, create a bit of a personal relationship, you have their cell phone so you can call them at home if it's at nighttime. That helps for sure.
Mm.
You know, but to be quite frank, a lot of it have to come with your first intervention because it is your obligation to minimize damages when you have a flood, not to wait for insurance to come and, you know, give you a service and with the aggravation of damage, you don't get covered.
Listen, we're talking about these New Year's resolutions in terms of any work that you have to get done on the house and planning as well. 5147-90-0800. Call us. Ask Walter your questions for your big projects, your small projects. He is taking your calls. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Walter Assey, president of Renovco, is right here. He is taking all of your calls, your questions for your home improvement, for your project, for all of those needs. 514-790-0800. Give us a call or text us. Preferably call us because some of these text messages are a bit complicated. I mean, the situations are complicated to describe. Terry is on the line. Terry has a question about a plate on the foundation. Terry, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, take it away.
Yeah, okay. And I built my own house in 1972. It's a cement block foundation. And them times we bolted a plate on top of the blocks and then started the house on top of that. But I was just wondering, there's a little, like, it's probably an eighth to a quarter of an inch crack along that plate between that and the between the cement blocks. I was wondering if, you know, I don't think I could spray foam in there. Would it be a good idea just to caulk around the inside to keep some of the heat from going out? I know the house is old now, but just the same.
So you have a cement block foundation?
That's right.
Okay. And there's a crack in the cement block?
No, not a crack in the cement blocks. You know, them times about every fourth hole or fifth hole, we filled it full of cement with a bolt in it and bolted the plate to start the house on top of it. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Got it.
And that plate is, I couldn't say twisted through time, but there's a little bit of a crack where it sits on the top of the blocks. And I was going to put caulking, and I was wondering if you can, the spray foam, if they got small nozzles that I could just fill that little crack with that, or should I just caulk it?
I mean, they do. The idea, the only thing that worries me about the spray foam is that when it expands, if it overexpands, then you're going to have some movement on the plate. So what you need to do is, if you're going to use that foam, you're going to have to use the low expansion foam.
Right.
Typically, that's good, same type that you would use for windows and doors when you install them. And, you know, make sure not to overspray it because it does expand as well.
Right. All the way to the house, like the floor joists are sitting on that. So I don't think the foam would lift them. But would caulking work, do you think?
The problem with caulking is, you know, it's a wood frame on top, right?
That's right, yeah.
So the problem with that is it expands and contracts. So you might have to, if you're going to do caulking, you might have to babysit it a lot more.
Okay.
Because it's going to crack and, you know, some areas are going to be bigger than others. It will stop maybe the air leak, but it would not give you an insulation factor as much as, let's say, a spray foam would.
Okay. And the spray foam, they do have small nozzles?
They do.
Fill a small crack like that, yeah?
They do, and that's why I'm saying also it's obviously combined with a low expansion foam.
Perfect. Well, thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
I listen to you every week.
Thank you, Terry.
Terry, happy New Year. Thank you so much. 514-790-0800. Call us. Reach out to Walter Assey for your home improvement questions or text us. Always better to call, I say. We do have a text message here from Vass. It's a long one, but we'll try to get to it. So Vass has a question about burst pipes, Walter. She says she had an incident, or he, I'm guessing Vass is a girl. I don't know. I had an incident 2 years ago, but during the summer, of a burst pipe. Now, during the next several months, I hired a general contractor to support the broken beams with posts in the basement and on the rez-de-chaussee, according to the engineer's structural report. Unfortunately, I recently found out that my building's front door is stuck shut when I went to see if everything was still okay on the premises. I'm assuming that it's due to the door frame settling onto the door. What are my options?
So that could potentially be a structural issue.
Not the burst pipe issue.
The burst pipe issue, I think she's talking about two different things.
Mm.
So I think what happened is she did have a broken pipe, but then they discovered structural problems. They had to shore it up and so on and so forth. So if this would have been the summer and she would have had the door stuck, I would have said it's the humidity due to the expansion and what have you. But in the winter, usually we have contraction, not expansion. So a door, you know, kind of sealed shut could potentially mean that there's a structural stress somewhere, because that's usually where they show up. They show up on top of door frames and windows, and, you know, these are the first places we look at when we see, like, if there's any structural stress, we'll look for cracks above windows and doors. So that could be one of the issues. What you should do next is get the structural engineers that did the plan to come and evaluate what the contractor did. So it's not enough to have a plan of a structural engineer give to a contractor and say, okay, have fun. They do their thing, and then you bring in the structural engineer. He does the inspection, and he's the one who signs off on it. Never let your contractor sign off on that.
So the structural engineer does a separate, completely separate job and a completely separate report.
Because, I mean, typically
that they give to the contractor.
Yeah, so typically by hierarchy of authority, the structural engineer would be the top authority.
Okay.
He needs to sign off on the plans, but he also needs to sign off on the work. So if you have a problem, pretty much, I mean, just to kind of simplify it, you know who to sue, right?
Ah, okay.
I mean,
gotcha.
At this point, who do you sue? Do you sue the structural engineer for wrong plans, or do you sue the contractor for wrongly executing the plans?
It's a top-down thing, though.
That's right. So, well, it's a top-down thing. If you get the structural engineer to say, job well done, I sign off on it, then the contractor is off the hook.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's the structural engineer that is really the guy that is responsible. That's especially like in heavy structure work. I'm not talking about smaller things. I'm talking about the major things. So that would be one thing that you should actually look into. The other thing that might be worth exploring is when she did have the water damage, she could have potentially had a lot of water on that door frame. And they would have swelled because of that water damage and should have been replaced when everything was fixed, and it was not. So that will be, if you wish, another thing for her to look into.
So there's basically, it could be structural, but if you look at the, if you find cracks, right?
Correct. I mean, where she's confusing us, basically, because she talks about a water damage, a burst pipe. So that tells me, there was water. Was there water in that door frame? And if there was, how much of it? And was it enough that that door frame now expanded, and that's why that door is shut? So that would be
an easier
scenario,
fix.
An easier fix for sure,
yeah.
Less headache. But then she talks about the structural issues and structural repairs and a structural engineer. So now we're thinking, okay, was that part of the areas that had structural issues or broken beams? And because, I mean, it's not the water damage that broke the beams. C'est pas vrai. There's something else.
Okay.
So that's really where we kind of, and that's sometimes in text messages it gets to be.
Yeah, that's what we want you guys to call 514-790-0800, because it is that's a very interesting question. It's just there's a lot of things going on, because the water damage, as you say, the burst pipe, that's a frame issue. And that's an easy fix.
That's an easier fix, for sure. Because what you would have to do is just replace the frame. In certain cases, we even just sand down the frame. If it's not, you know, too well damaged or rotted, or there's no mold on it. Whereas if it's a structural issue, there's a lot more to dig for.
Okay, so structural issues, remember that it's the contractor, but then the report.
Well, the structural engineer.
The structural engineer. And they should be in two separate companies, just to avoid?
Well, I mean, always. What you want to do is, every time you have a professional, if you have in the same company, it doesn't really matter. But structural engineer, you know, it's just to avoid conflicts of interest. You can't be the guy, you know, doing the job and then signing off on it.
No.
You know, you're going to sign off on your own
job. I smell a rat there.
That's right. So, I mean, anytime you are, you know, dealing with architects, structural engineers, and this and that, it's always great that they have a great working relationship, the contractor, the architect, or the structural engineer, or even the designer in certain cases, to get things done properly and to bring it towards a good end, like they say.
All right, 514-790-0800. Call us. Call Walter. Ask him your questions. Maybe you're thinking about starting a new project in the new year and you don't know where to start. You don't know what to do. 514-790-0800. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. The This is the Home Improvement Show, the last episode of the year 2024. Lots of calls coming in, people waiting to speak to Walter Assey, president of Renovco. Elizabeth, ooh, that's my mother's name. Elizabeth is on the line, and she's got a question about the heating pump making a loud bang. Elizabeth, can you hear us?
Yes.
Take it away.
Okay, I'm calling because a couple years ago I had called, and I said that they changed my furnace, and ever since then, every time the furnace starts up, it gives a bang, but when it shut down, it really gives a big bang, like so much so that you jump. Now, at that time, you didn't know exactly what it was. You said you'd look into it, but I hear you talking about making sure the duct is big enough for the new furnace.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. So that is typically one of the issues. I'm just going to give you a bit of a rundown what it could be. It could be multiple things, really. A big, if you want, a common mistake that happens is when you change your heat pump and you get a bigger heat pump or a bigger furnace than what you had. So let's say you had a 2-ton. And then, you know, the ventilation rep decided to be overzealous and sold you a 3-ton, but your ducts were constructed for a 2-ton originally. That's too much air pressure going into the ducts that were not engineered to take that much pressure. So that would be one of the issues that happens. Now, the other one that is also common, especially in the newer installations, is that the fan blades sometimes are loose, and usually you should have a kind of a checklist when you are installing a new heat pump or a new furnace. You want to check, you want to go over the checklist. More often than not, in transport or in handling, fan blades or, you know, the fan becomes loose, and that also creates noise as well. So that's one other thing that you can look into. Expansion valves is another one. So, the expansion valve is really what regulates the flow of the refrigerant in the system. If it's malfunctioning, it can cause pressure changes, and that also could lead to those banging noises you're hearing. That's why it's like, you know, there's three or four things that you have to check one after the other before you say 100% what it is. I mean, if you're lucky, it's a loose fan blade and it's a loose fan installation and you just have to fasten it well, that would be the easiest fix. The other ones, it could be a bit more complicated because if you have a system that is too big for your ducts, well, you know, it becomes more of an issue. Either you have to change your ducts or the system.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you so much for that call. Happy New Year to Elizabeth. We have time for one last call right now. It is Donna. Donna is on the line, and she's got a question about a pipe, I think. Donna, can you hear us?
Yes, hi. Yes, I had the flood in August. So I'm thinking of putting in a sub pump. Is that what you put in? That's what everybody does after the flood?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
So, I mean, it depends what kind of flood did you have. Let's start with that, Donna. Where did the water come from? We had sewer damage. Okay. So you had a sewer damage. What you need is a backwater valve, a backflow valve.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm glad I called you. So I need
a backwater valve. What that is essentially is it's like, think of it as a flap that allows the water to flow out of the house, but shuts down to prevent the water to come back into the house.
When you do the
research or the shopping around, there are different type of backflow valves now. There are ones that could also be shut down manually. So in case of big rainfall, if you want to do it, you can.
Okay.
So have that conversation with your plumber. You know, you don't necessarily need to go with the cheapest or the most standard, because there are other ones that are a lot more practical now. And I would actually encourage you to put these. It's a bit more expensive, but it's a lot more user-friendly, especially that, you know, the things that they require maintenance and you need to understand how they work in case of a big storm, so you can use them efficiently. The other thing is you also have to have a conversation about how many of these you need in your basement, because usually you could have one potentially installed in the main, but then you have the branches, which is if you have a bathroom or a laundry room, that you also might need to look into that. In a lot of cases, if you install the right one in the right place, it's sufficient to have one.
Okay.
But in other cases, you would need a main one, and you need the branchement, which are smaller ones in other sections of the basement. So it's really don't... What I'm trying to say is question the options. Do not, because some plumbers, they come in and they just give you one thing, their tunnel vision. They want to give you just a price and, okay, just put it on the main. Ask them the question, tell them, but I have a basement and I have this and I have a drain here and what do I do with this? And challenge them to give you the right answers. And then also talk to them about the different type of backflow valve that exists so you can adequately choose the one that suits you better.
Okay, that sounds very good. Thank you so much.
Donna,
so it's a plumber that I call. Okay.
It's a plumber, that is correct.
Thank you so much, Donna. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to every single one of you. I hope you have a fantastic one. Walter, it's our last show of the year. Any words for the listeners?
We're coming back next year.
We're coming back next year.
You make this it sound like we're being canceled or something. I mean,
we will be back next year, which is next Saturday. But honestly, you want to wish everyone a happy new year
for everyone.
Okay, thank you so much. That does it for us. This was the Home Improvement Show.